Hey, you guys. This is Tim and Lisa Mahan.
Hello.
And we are Spirit Life Ministries. And today, as promised, we are going to discuss another outreach technique or a technique or something that has to do with what we believe is foundational to having effective outreach. And actually, this one, we were talking about it, and you know, this one is actually foundational to our freedom as Christians, and not even sure what the point would be in being a believer if we didn't have this one. So what is this one? Drum roll.
What is the gospel? That's what we're going to talk about today. What the gospel is, we're going to define it. We're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to talk about what it means to us. And of course, how important it is when we do outreach. You got to know what the gospel is to be able to share it with other people to lead them to salvation. But yeah, that's our topic for today.
Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the word gospel in the Greek, if you have a reference or concordance, it would come under G2097 or G2098. Actually, in both of those, it comes up. But it means to announce good news. And so it also means to declare, to bring, to show, and to preach. And it's the good news. So I don't know about you, but sometimes the news doesn't seem that good when it's given. And so just to be honest, and we've had people preach to us over the years, and we've seen other preachers. We saw some preachers this weekend and in one of the outreaches that we did. So what is the good news?
Yeah, it's important to highlight that word good, right? It's the good news. So kind of what Lisa was just alluding to, you know, some of our experiences and even what we saw this last weekend. Although I guess I can't say that for sure because I don't know what they were preaching, but it seemed like it was kind of a turn or burn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So turn or burn is not good news, right? The Bible tells us in Romans 2:4 that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance or leads men to repentance. And so it's important for us to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us, because that's the gospel, with other people, because that is a display of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
When we explain what Jesus did, what we're doing is we're showing people or explaining to people the love that God has for them. So turn or burn message, while, you know, there is a hell, we're not trying to deny that.
Mm-mm.
And people that don't accept Jesus go there when they die. But that's not the focus of the good news. That's a result of not accepting the good news.
Mm-hmm. Good news is going to be beautiful. It's going to be bountiful. And this is actually something that's in the Hebrew that talks about the word good. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be kind, loving, merry, precious, sweet. I mean, all of the things that you think about when you think about God or you think about Jesus, it's good news. It's going to always bring freedom. It's always going to bring prosperity. It's always going to bring, and I'm not talking financial prosperity. I'm talking just prosperity, spirit, soul, body. It's going to bring life. And so the gospel is not about performance or perfection.
Thankfully,
or none of us would be able to have it, right?
Yeah, none of us would make the cut.
None
of
us.
Up to us.
Yeah, none of us would make the cut. So if I tell someone, you're going to hell if you don't change, that's not good news, because it's not about you changing. It's about you receiving and believing that you are justified freely because of what Jesus did. You're actually receiving that good news. That the good news is actually, so we can go a little bit deeper into that.
Okay. Yeah, just real quick though, can I jump back to the turn or burn thing?
Yeah, please.
Something just, you know, popped up into my noggin there. We talked before, or just a minute ago, you know, you really, some people might be, I'm using air quotes, scared into salvation from a turn or burn message. I'm not saying that those don't ever work. I'm just saying that the focus of those is not really the good news, right? It's a result of not accepting the good news or not accepting Jesus. And I know from, can I share a personal story for a second?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was a child and a young adult, the church that I went to or that I was kind of raised in, I'm not saying I went there every Sunday and all of that stuff, but it was my level of knowledge of God. And that church really focused on kind of the turn or burn mentality, right? They really focused on the sin. You know, here's a list of things that you should not do, you know, or else you could end up going to hell. And so I remember as a child thinking, man, I will never, ever live up to that standard. I mean, I can't not do some of the things we're talking about already. You know, I can't imagine living this perfect life, because I thought it was about my performance or perfection, kind of what you were saying earlier, Lisa. And it's not about that at all. The gospel is not that. And so thankfully, later in life, you know, I was introduced to a group of people, you know, one of which is still a dear friend of ours, who shared the good news, the grace of God, what Jesus did and what it means to really be saved, mm-hmm. and accept Jesus into your heart, because it's his finished work, Christ's finished work on the cross. That is the gospel. That's the good news. It's nothing that I have to do other than simply believe that Jesus took my place, took all my sin upon him, and stood there in my place and received, you know, the punishment from my sin. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because the responsibility that we have as believers is to believe that because of what Jesus did, we're no longer judged with sin or with our imperfections or with what we consider imperfections or even our the ones that really are. I mean, we're not any longer judged by that. And we actually get to have relationship with God through Jesus because of the sacrifice that was made by him going to the cross, being buried, rising again, right? So resurrecting and now seated at the right hand of God. And then, but the whole thing that we're trying to nail in on here is that, you know, when we're ministering to people and as believers, like Tim had said before, we as believers have to understand and receive the good news ourselves, so that when we go and minister to other people for them to receive, they can also receive. Because I'm also thinking about how the Holy Spirit works with God in tandem with God. The Holy Spirit works with God, and then we work with the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us. And so that's how there's going to be real freedom, and real freedom when we do, when we quote unquote do outreach, when we go and we share Jesus with people. It's not going to just be because we go tell them, you know, you've got to do this or you're going to go to hell. It's going to be because they're going to know the Spirit's going to be there. The Holy Spirit's going to work with that, because it's the truth. It's the gospel.
Yeah, that's a good point. And of course, you know, the Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God, right? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. So when we are saved, when we receive the gospel and believe in Jesus and get the Holy Spirit inside of us, that's God inside of us, right? That's God, his Spirit dwelling inside of us. So when we go out and we do outreach and talk to people on the street, it's the love of God that's already existent inside of us is coming out, and that's what we're sharing. And that's what produces the gospel or the good news for others to hear, you know, others whose hearts are open to receive. So you're absolutely right. I agree with that the Holy Spirit is 100% required for us to be able to share the gospel.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And that's a great, I like the way that you put that. But we have a scripture here. It's Romans 1:16, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so as believers, we're not ashamed of the gospel, which is, again, like we've been talking about, is the good, is actually in that scripture, I'll go back. The gospel is a good message of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So when the gospel is being preached correctly and is being shared correctly through the Holy Spirit, people are going to come to Christ because it's a good message. And in that scripture, gospel is, if you look in your concordance, it's G2098, and that means a good message. So it's a good message. It's not just the good message of salvation, but it's a good message that involves all of the freedom that Jesus brings. Salvation, deliverance, love, hope, comfort, breakthrough. I mean, we serve this God who is healing the brokenhearted, setting people free. This isn't a slave system. This is a freedom system. And so once we get that, we can share that with anybody that we meet anywhere, anytime, whether you're going out on outreach intentionally or you're just going to the store.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot. It's not a hard question.
I'm out of here.
So is the gospel only for unbelievers?
No.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because believers have to believe that they're justified freely by Jesus. So we have to also, I love to call it this unreasonable grace, because it's the greatest barrier as a Christian if you can get over the fact that it's that good, that the gospel is that good. It's that good that you could mess up and still receive Jesus. Like, we don't like to think of it that way, because then we think, well, people are going to run out and sin, and sin isn't good for you. And that's not what we're advocating, because if you sin, you're sowing seeds. And it leads to, wages of sin is death. So it just sows death toward you, even if you're already living in the spirit and you have life in you. You're going to have to work through things that God never intended for you to have to work through if you sow to sin.
Right. And that's a good point. And Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, where grace is not a free card to go out and sin and do everything that you want and get away with it. Right. Because once you truly understand the gospel of grace, you won't want to sin, right? You will feel like a holy conviction inside of yourself because of the Holy Spirit in you, reminding you, hey, that's not who you are. You don't do that. You don't act that way, because Christ already took care of all of that. Now, that's not saying that if you do slip and sin, make a mistake, that you lose salvation. I don't believe that at all. I mean, I believe that God is way bigger than any mistake I can make. Once I accept Jesus into my life, that's going to be more powerful than any bad decision that I make. But some people do think that grace is just that get out of jail free card and they can do whatever they want. If they do, I don't think they truly understand what grace is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think that once you realize how good grace is, it gives you the power to change, because that scripture says it's the power of God unto salvation, unto saved, healed, and delivered. And so it's the good, it's Romans 1:16. Can you read it again? Did you have that too?
I don't have it up over here, but.
Oh, over here, way over there.
Way over on the other side of the same table we're sitting on.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So it's the power of God. The gospel gives us the power for saved, healed, and delivered. It's that sweetness, that good news message that gives us the power to walk away from sin. And so it's believing it and renewing your mind in it, but it's actually believing but I know it's like, we've heard it said before where it's the almost too good to be true message. I mean, and it really is. It's that good. And to wrap our little brains around it sometimes is a challenge, but God's up for the challenge.
Amen. And kind of to go back to the question that I asked you a minute ago, that I think you answered it well, is the gospel just for, is the gospel just for unbelievers? And you said no. And that's because, again, the gospel is just the good news, right? So there is the gospel of salvation, what Jesus did for all sinners, for the entire world. John 3:16 tells us that he died for the entire world. And if we believe in him, if we accept that gospel of salvation, that gospel of what he did, that good news of everything that he did, we'll be saved. But you know, even as believers, that doesn't mean that the gospel just stops once we get past that point, right? Because the gospel continues even for us. Because really the gospel is everything that Jesus did. Yes, he died on the cross and was buried and raised for us. And because of that, we have salvation if we believe. But what about once we're a believer? That doesn't mean we don't have any issues or we don't need more good news of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, here in Colorado Springs, where we minister on the streets, a vast majority of the people we come into contact with, they're already saved, you know, and that's because we live in Churchtown, USA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's really rare to come across somebody who hasn't at least heard the gospel. Not saying they all received it, but at least they've heard it. Right. So for those that did receive it and are believers but are going through hard times, we don't just say, well, you know, you already received the gospel of salvation, so we're just going to continue on past you and find somebody else. No,
mm-hmm.
we still minister to them, and they minister to us too. We minister to each other here in the house. But, you know, it's Jesus has taken, he's given us a life more abundantly, right? So whatever issues that we have, Jesus has taken care of that too. It's not just salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not just about going to heaven, though. That's the most important thing. Obviously, we want people to be saved and to go to heaven. That's what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say here, probably not very well, is even once you're saved, you still need the gospel. We need to be reminded of the good news. And we also need to know that Jesus is continually willing to interact with us in our life to overcome obstacles and to deal with situations. And knowing that he will do that for us is also gospel. It's also good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that it's a continual 24/7 operation where we're bathing in it. We're flowing in it. We're in it. We're in Christ.
Yes.
Always.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we just don't feel like it, or there's lots of distractions or deception or things going on that make us dumbed down, and what you're saying is we need to be awake to that.
Right. Exactly.
Awake to the fact that the whole thing started in grace and in the goodness of God. And so for some people, they might have got saved by fear, and then their whole walk with the Lord might have been played out that way. And so when we're ministering to people, we want to make sure that they know it's good news. This is a good news thing. We're not trying to harm anybody. This God is good. He loves people.
Yeah, he is a loving God. He loves everyone. He loved the world. While we were yet sinners, he sent Christ on our behalf.
Yeah, so while we were yet sinners, he loved us. So in the scripture that so many people are familiar with is John 3:16-17. And did you want to read it?
Yeah, I actually do have that one here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's John 3:16, which pretty much everybody knows, but not everyone knows verse 17, where it goes on to say, for God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. And that word saved there is the Greek word sozo, which it means salvation, but it also means healing and deliverance, which you had talked about before. And that's kind of the point that we're getting at. Again, we emphasize that the most important thing about the gospel is salvation. Right. First and foremost, the most important decision that anyone can make is the decision to accept Christ into their life. Mm-hmm. Right. They're accepting that gospel of salvation. But the word saved here doesn't just mean salvation. It means healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means deliverance. Basically, when we read the gospels, we see that Jesus met people where they were at. Whatever need they had, that's where he met them. If they needed healing, he would heal them. If they needed deliverance, he would deliver them. If they needed love, he showed them love, right? He met them where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we'll reiterate, salvation is the most important thing, but the gospel is more encompassing than just salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. And it's also just so much of the foundation of everything that we do as a believer. that if you go on into your Christian world without it, or if you fall from grace or the good news and you stop believing, like you were saying before, as a believer, you need to be reminded of that. If you stop doing that, then you're no longer in the flow. It's like you got out of the boat at some point and God never asked you to get out of the boat, you know?
I recommend getting out of the boat if God doesn't ask you to get out of the boat.
And personally, for a personal story would be just a time in my life when I had different things happen that were challenging and unexpected in my life that caused me to think, you know, or different things that I had been deceived by, I'll put it that way. And I fell into that trap. And then later, looking back, as I'm repenting and changing my mind about it, I'm thinking, well, God can't possibly love me again. There's no way he stuck around for my stupidity and my foolishness, you know?
Right.
And come to find out later, I had fallen from the goodness of God, which is what the whole foundation of a believer is the goodness of God. It's about him and what he did for us and that he freely justified us. And I want to just read a scripture because it's so important. Romans 3:23. Is that okay?
Yeah. I was just, it's interesting though, real quick. So you thought God wasn't with you anymore, but he was there the whole time,
mm-hmm.
right? You just, because of the situation that you were in, you felt far from him,
mm-hmm.
but that was just your perception of him. It mm-hmm. wasn't his placement, which was as close to you as he had always been.
Yes, exactly. And that's great that you brought that back up, because for anybody who's listening, I mean, you think that maybe God has abandoned you, or you think that maybe you've gone too far the other way. And let me tell you, if you are even thinking that you might have, that means you haven't. And so gone too far the other way. And so my idea was that I had, you know, God wouldn't, you know, let me, I don't know, work in me anymore, or I don't know.
You felt like he maybe would have discarded you or taken away your call because you had what you perceived as fallen from grace.
Right.
I don't know why that word grace was so hard to get out there, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. From receiving his goodness. And so, yeah, I was starting to go a different track on that, and I could tell it kind of changed, but I think it was because you were pulling it out. And then
I'm a puller.
Yeah. You're a puller. Yeah. But yeah, just going back to that, I really think that somebody needs to hear that, you know, God doesn't ever leave you or forsake you. And it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And it's his goodness and his love that draw you and change you and sharpen you and mold you and bring out the new creation person that you are meant to be. It's not his will for you to drown in all of that.
So I guess, not saying we're wrapping it up at the end of this, but just kind of to wrap up the gospel itself, by definition, if somebody were to ask what the gospel really meant, I think I'll say what I would define it as, and then you can add to that or take away or change it to how you deem necessary. But I believe the gospel is, because of God's unfathomable love for us, he sent his son. Because we were sinners, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, which was the penalty. You know, death is a penalty for sins. The wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that. So Jesus was brutally beaten. He was hung on the cross. At that moment, took all of our sin, past, present, and future, upon himself. And in turn, he placed his righteousness, Jesus's righteousness, on us. And so Jesus died for us, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering death itself, the wages of sin. So we have eternal life through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And again, that all comes back to the love that God has for us. The reason all of that happened was because you know, God loves us. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves us. You had a revelation of the Holy Spirit saying he loves us. Mm-hmm. The Father, of course, also being part of God, loves us.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say differently, if anything, if you were asked to define the gospel? I'm not putting you on the spot at all.
I'm on the spot. No, I'm just kidding. So I would define the gospel as, and I just remembered what I was going to say a little bit earlier, but I'll say that in a minute if I don't forget. But I would just define the gospel as the good news that we are no longer held for, we are no longer being judged by God for sin, and we are no longer separated from him. Like, we can be one with him and in Christ. Like, it took away the gospel, the good news has taken away the penalties against us from being close to and in relationship with our Father and being one with Jesus and having that like pure flow fire of God in us, the Holy Spirit, where it's like the gospel to me is it's such good news that like we are no longer separate from God. We don't have to go to a priest to talk to God. We don't have to go light 5 candles and run around 2 blocks unless God tells us to. We don't have to do that stuff. Like, we don't have to do rituals to be close to God. The good news is that we're justified. We don't have to do that stuff to be justified. We're no longer separate. We're justified. We're clean. We're whole. We're one. We're innocent in God's eyes because of Jesus. To me, that's the good news.
Okay, fine. Yours is better.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. You asked, and I was on the spot, man.
You did really well for being put on the spot. But the common denominator in both of those definitions is Jesus, right, and mm-hmm. his finished work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the gospel. And
yeah,
again, I don't know why I harp on this. I think it's just because of what we've seen. And I'll be real quick because I know you got something you want to say before you forget. But we're harping on this whole turn or burn thing. Again, it's something that bugs us because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've seen it and we've seen the damage that it can cause,
mm-hmm.
Because people have this really bad perception of God being mm-hmm. the angry God that's, you know, just waiting to strike people down when they do something wrong. And, you know, he's looking forward to sending people to hell. And that's just so the opposite of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even comprehend the love that he has for us.
Yeah. Well, and it says, I don't know the reference right now, but it's a good point. Some people, it says you draw them to Christ through basically love, and other people it's by fire. And so some people aren't going to come unless you give them the message very boldly and in a way that might sound like, you know, this is your last moment here. And it's not a turn or burn though. Still, it's always in love, because that's how God moves and has his being. I mean, he's a lover, but he also is bold and courageous and will tell people, you know, we're not saying that you're agreeing with sin. If I don't tell you turn or burn, doesn't mean I'm agreeing with you. If I don't hold a sign in your face that says, or have a microphone in your face yelling at you to get you to change. But I believe God's bigger than us in drawing people to him.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's the bottom line, right? The Holy Spirit knows people's hearts and the best way that they need to receive.
Yeah, no, I think what you said was perfect. I mean, it's not turn or burn. It's the gospel is good news. But what we need to do as the church, perhaps, is to discover ways that the Holy Spirit wants it to be expressed for each person to receive.
Yeah, we can change it from turn or burn to turn to love.
Yeah, turn to love and not, and God's love. We're talking, obviously, from us, it's kind of, we're saying God's love.
Right, it's about his love.
Because then people
us.
Are like, well, what do you mean love? Well, we're obviously talking God's love okay. here. But my other point that I wanted to go back to was just...
About 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, because I was kind of going in that flow and then I lost it. But basically, you know, when I was deceived from receiving the good news and from flowing with God, it was because I didn't have a foundation of freedom like we're talking about. And that's another reason that this is so important for believers to get this unreasonable grace, good news message burned on the inside of them, because I was talked out of it easily because I didn't have it already. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I was deceived into believing that I had displeased God in such a way that I couldn't be close to him again, to where I was just like, well, forget the whole thing. Throw the baby and the bathwater out together. Just throw it all out, throw everything out, because I'm just, I know that's an old saying, but
it's
just
a terrible visual.
Just chuck the whole thing. 'Cause what's the point? And it's like, well, and God's sitting over here going, someday she's going to know. And she's going to remember that when she came to me, it was because she felt my love for her. And that was all she knew. And then other people came along and she had her own mistakes she made, but she also had other people telling her how bad she was and that the Holy Spirit's mad at her and all these other different religious things happened. So
you had some Pharisees and Sadducees, I see.
I had a couple fairy and fairy sad people. But the scripture too, I know I skipped over that. I just want to read it real quick and then you can wrap us up however you like. King Mahan over there. So Romans 3:23-24 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That's how we all come to God.
Amen.
All of us, yep. Everybody, no matter what.
No matter background, no matter race, no matter situations, current, past, doesn't matter. It's all the same. We're all fallen until we have Jesus into our hearts, ask mm-hmm. Jesus into our hearts and mm-hmm. receive that gospel message. Mm-hmm. Amen. I like that.
Amen.
Yeah. So when you, I'm talking to you on the other end of this, when you go out into the streets to minister to people, again, it's important to share the gospel, the goodness of God, right? That's what leads men to repentance. But be sure that's what you're sharing. It's God's love for that person. You know, and share scripture with them, obviously. But also you can share your testimony. You know, it's very personal when somebody shares their testimony with you, mm-hmm. right? It's important to see that it's not just, you know, words in the Bible, which are very important and powerful. The Bible's alive. We know that. Mm-hmm. But when it's somebody sharing their personal story of how God came into their life and how God introduced his love for them to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's such an amazing way to share the gospel as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's redemptive. It's redemption that changes us. And so when you share that redemption with someone else, you know, my life was this way. Now it's this way, or it could have been this way. And now it's this way, or, you know, just knowing that love of God. So I mean, even just everything you're saying, it's like believers, we need to be soaking in the gospel.
Amen. Yeah.
We need to go take a bath in the gospel all the time. And
the Holy Spirit bath bomb.
Exactly. And we need to stay there and not leave that place as we go through this life, which is the adventure, right? Mm-hmm. The adventure is this life on this side. So that's pretty intense and pretty awesome. And I just pray for anybody today who's struggling with this, Lord, that you'd open their hearts and you'd open their minds and that they would know and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that they would, all the believers that are listening to this, that they would all have an impartation of the revelation of your love that you have for each one of them. And to remember what they came from, and even more who the new creation is that they are right now in you. And we pray for all the people who are also listening, whoever stumbles across this, who is not a believer, that if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's easy. And it's easy as
just asking him into your heart. And it could be a simple prayer like, you know, Lord Jesus, maybe I don't know a lot about you, God. And I know that I've, you know, maybe made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I'm at a point where I want to know more about you. And so I just pray that you would come into my heart. My heart is open to receive you and everything that you want to teach me. And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as asking him in. And, you know, if you ask him to come into your heart, he will.
Mm-hmm.
He will be there. And not only will he enter into your heart, but he will change your life. Mm-hmm. He will begin to give you revelation. He will begin to just show you who he is and the love that he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be life-changing forever. You will not be the same person. And don't get caught up on all the things that you need to change in your life. Just simply ask him into your life and then let him, his Holy Spirit, start to change the things that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of work. And what I mean by that, it's as simply as asking him into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that needs to be done, he will help you through that.
Mm-hmm. There's a great scripture in Romans 10:13 that says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So if you're that person today, go ahead and call upon the name of the Lord. And if you go up to Romans 10:9-10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if that's you today, we just bless you as you call out to the Lord to confess him as your Lord and Savior. And if you need any material or need, you've done that, let us know. You can reach us at...
Our email is spiritlife.814@gmail.com. Again, that's spiritlife.814@gmail.com. And then our website is spirit-life-ministries.org. I always forget that part.
That's okay.
Yeah, the .org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're a person who has, you're a believer and you're like, well, my church needs to get out, or my Bible study needs to get out, or I have this group, church group, I have these people who I really want them to go out and I don't know how to get them started, please reach out. We'd love to help. We'd love to host a workshop for you, and we'd be blessed to do that.
Absolutely. So yeah, reach out with any questions or any comments or any concerns. We're happy to address
well,
each and all of those.
Not any concern.
Some concerns. Not the ones that are too hard.
Yeah, we're just kidding, you guys. We like to have fun. So we just bless you guys, and we pray that you have a really great rest of your day, and we will talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye, everyone.